is Will Tinkin.
Thanks for listening to the Bitter Comics Podcast. And here's your host, JT Foreman.
Good job, dude. Can I have a high five?
Yes.
Good job. That's really nice.
Hello, this is JT Foreman, and welcome to episode 86 of Bitter Comics. Yay!
Yeah, all right.
I am here with my good friends, Blake Hayden.
Right here.
And Derek Hayden.
What's up?
Not much is up. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
Awesome.
Doing pretty solid.
Thanks a lot for coming over to do the podcast. We begin once again with our opening segment. JT was a real prick last week, in which I apologize for the cruel, offensive, and probably racist things I said last episode. So this is episode 86, so for my insensitivity in episode 85, I would like to apologize to Black People, Mike Wirtz, Spam Email, Fast Cars, Ugly Oriental Chicks, Alcoholic Beverages, and Skype.
I think I'm missing something.
Yeah, can we have a backstory on this? Because it sounds kind of like a show I want to watch.
Backstory on which one?
On this, the list of apologies you just gave.
I think I said something about Mike Wirtz during the very beginning of the show last episode. But, you know, if you want to know why I'm apologizing to each of these things,
yes,
check out episode 85 or any of our previous episodes at bittercomics.podbean.com. If you feel I owe any additional apologies or to make any comments, send us an email to bittercomics@hotmail.com. And in the subject line, please put, tell Mike Wirtz not to be so damn paranoid. They send that shit to everybody. So, how's it going?
It's going super, man.
Mike Wirtz was talking last episode about how do they know that he has bad credit and can't get it up? Because those are the emails that he keeps receiving. Yeah. And how do they know? And I think he's just being paranoid because they send those emails to me, too. You guys get the bad credit and can't get it up emails?
I think everybody does.
You're saying that as in two different types of emails, not bad credit and how to get it up as in boner pills.
Well, maybe maybe that's why he's being so paranoid is because they're sending the two messages in one email. Hey, we know you have bad credit and your penis won't get erect. Yeah. So, hey, we have this one thing that will do both.
So you take the pill, you screw somebody, and your credit gets better.
I think it's the other way around. Your credit goes up, and then you can get it up.
So you take this pill, it makes your penis so big that you become a big porn star. And now you got lots of money, and you get a better credit rating. Maybe that's how
that
it works.
That makes sense.
I'm going to have to read those emails now.
I've been sending them to the junk folder. That might be a mistake.
Yeah.
You
should big opportunities.
Good laughs in there.
Big opportunities.
Well, you know what's weird is I keep winning all these iPads.
Yeah, how many iPads would you have right now if all those?
Hundreds.
Last night I was playing this video game called Brink, and it's a first-person shooter. I'm like halfway through it, and I die over and over and over. I can't get past the sixth mission. And finally I'm like, all right, screw this. Where's the frigging cheat codes? And I go onto the internet to try to find the cheat codes. And I can't find cheat codes, but I find a trainer, which is this program you're supposed to download, and then when you start the game, you start that program, and it has
the
invulnerability mold in it.
People how to play video games?
Yeah, I guess so.
Wow.
But, well, no, they call it a trainer, but it alters your character in the game.
Oh.
And, so I download the program, and then I click on start, and then this little window comes up and says, please enter the code. If you don't have the code, click on download code to get the code. I click on download code, and it starts sending me to all of these. Just complete these surveys, and we'll give you the code. And I'm like,
oh, my God.
Yeah.
So I fill out these surveys, and then it gets to this, it's like age, height, weight, what income, all this other demographic information, and then all these things about, are you interested in this?
Yeah,
are you interested in that?
Another one afterwards.
And then it gets to the last window, and it has these six things there, like, would you be interested in auto insurance? Would you be interested in life insurance? And there's none.
You have to pick one of them.
I'm like, all right, fine. Click on yes, I'm interested in auto insurance, because my auto insurance will be due soon, and you know what? If they can give me a better price than what I currently have, great.
Yeah.
So I click on that, and it goes to the next window. I enter in my phone number and my email address, and then I thank you, and then it closes the window. I went through, it said 5-minute survey. It actually took about 10 minutes, and I never got the code to be able to activate the trainer so I could play my fucking video game. Yeah,
I was
because I'm too lazy to learn how to play the game right.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. You need to get a new game to start playing.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's on.
If it takes that much hassle to just so you could get some cheat codes.
Well, the aggravating thing is that it's on the easy setting.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's not like I'm playing on impossible mode. Oh, my gosh. There's no, it's on the easy setting, and I can't get past halfway the sixth mission in this.
Oh, wow.
Do I just suck that bad? Apparently, I do.
I guess maybe so. But, hey,
Drink hates you.
You know what? I'm kind of a positive guy. I look at it as you just got new auto insurance.
Well, see, then here's the worst part is I generally work nights, so I sleep until 1 or 2 in the afternoon, because I'm working at night, so I sleep during the day.
I'm a little jealous.
And the auto insurance, they called me twice today to wake me up and woke me up.
Yeah.
See, I don't ever give my information out.
I didn't even get the code to use the trainer so I could cheat on my video game.
Did you? Yeah. Did you at least get a good quote for it?
You know what? I was dead tired the first time they called. I just hung up. I was like. Never mind, and I hung up. And then the second time I called, I said, yeah, you know what? You guys lied to me, so I can't trust you enough to buy insurance from me. So what are you talking about? Well,
it's probably not even
I didn't get my code. Tell you what, you give me the code so I can use a trainer, and I'll listen to your quote on auto insurance. And I'm like, what are you talking about?
Geico Auto Insurance.
It was like American Auto Insurance was the name of the company.
Teach me how to play Brink, and I will buy your insurance.
Yeah. Send that gecko over. You know, he's got the plunger fingers. I bet he's really good with those controllers. So, yes, that's right. I'm a 41-year-old adult, and I'm still playing video games.
Well, here's the thing.
You never get too old for video games.
I worked at GameStop for a while, just to kind of like a seasonal job, and this 40-year-old guy comes up.
Okay, I hate you.
Well, no.
And I'll explain why after your story.
Let's go to the rest of the story. So this guy comes up with these Lego Batman, Lego Indiana Jones games. Well, I'm working during Christmas, so I'm thinking, okay, well, this is a gift. So I go, so who's this a gift for? You know, just kind of making small. Oh, nobody. I've just never played it. I'm thinking, why are you playing these Lego video games?
I'm not going to lie. Those games are actually really fun.
Joel, would you ever play a Lego video game?
I didn't think so either, but it is fun, dude.
You know, I would probably watch a Lego version of Star Wars or Batman, but I don't know that I would play the video game.
It's fun.
Just because, you know what, I have to say, the best Star Wars parody I ever saw was the Muppet Babies one. Did you ever see that?
No, I did not see that.
The Muppet Babies, of course, Muppet Babies was a cartoon that was on when I was a kid. Which, when I was a kid, you guys weren't alive yet. So,
no.
Yeah, I'm 41 years old, and my two guests are 21 and 19, respectively. Blake's 21.
No, yeah,
Blake's, I'm sorry. Blake is 19, and Derek is 21. The better looking one with the hypnotic eyes.
Yeah,
the
dark eyes.
The dark hypnotic eyes.
Got the dark stare.
Yes, that's right. Derek is the one with the dark hypnotic eyes, and Blake is the one whose mom is an L word. And, of course, by L word, I mean lawyer.
Right. Right. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's the L word you're talking about.
You know what? I'm sorry. I got to take this phone call.
Okay.
It's my own podcast, and I'm doing this. I'll be right back. Okay, this is JT Foreman, and the presentation of my pussy whipping has been completed. And I'm sorry about that. I apologize.
Can we just talk about the phone conversation for 5 minutes?
At least, please.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Sure. Okay. Well. Do you call your girlfriend Baby every single time, or is that just her name?
Nobody puts Baby in the corner.
Well, okay. And
hey, don't judge how we do. Never mind.
Hey, Joel, how did that conversation end? How did you end that conversation?
I said goodbye, and then she said goodbye, and then I said goodbye, and then she said goodbye.
No, you hang up.
I make her hang up. I do.
Bye.
No, I don't say. Bye. I don't say you hang up. I just say bye.
Wait, bye. You didn't hang up either.
Bye. No, you know that has never happened. She's always after 3 or 4 byes, she always hangs up.
You should just hang up on her just the first one. Just to
bye, click.
Bye, click.
just see what happens.
If I do that, she'll call me back and say, baby, what's wrong? And then it just goes into
Bye.
All right, now we can
I'm just playing with my girlfriend. Come on.
No, it's cute. It's cute.
It's adorable is what it is. Adorable. I am such a romantic guy.
Are you?
And so I'm soft and cuddly.
Yeah, okay.
And I wish she would let me soft and cuddly a little more often. Yeah, she doesn't. She has had trouble with me holding her hand in public for a while.
Mm-hmm.
She's just not used to any sort of public display of affection at all. Yeah. And whereas I want to just like grab her and in public. That was the sound of getting
funny
a blowjob.
Since we just came up with this, I just wanted to throw this out there.
All right.
Blake's fan.
Oh, yes.
Blake made out with his fan.
I have
Blake
one
has
fan.
A fan.
Blake has one fan.
I have one fan. She messaged me on Facebook. She goes, hey, I loved your show. I want to see it again. So I messaged her back, set up a date, and I made out with her last night.
How funny
so.
Would it be if he pissed her off and she didn't become his fan anymore?
Hey.
And he goes, tell him what you would say.
Yeah, you know, you're funny, but you... You just don't know how to fuck
anymore. Yeah. No, this is what he was saying.
I bang her and she.
You know, I bang her.
Yeah, yeah.
No big deal.
I'm just saying
that all the time.
And so if anybody says, you know, do you have any fans? I could just be like, well, no, because I banged all of them.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna include that. There's just one. I'm just gonna go ahead and leave it at that. Let their imagination. Go ahead and
know, if there's only one and you banged one, that's all of them.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. So that's what I'm saying.
Exactly.
Yeah, so I had fans.
Technically, right now, I banged.
Yes, I have fan. Yeah. And they probably won't notice that you just did the singular of the word fan there.
Yeah.
Well, technically,
yeah, I have fan.
I would say his mom is also a fan, so that would.
No. I hope so you haven't banged all your fans.
I guess the L word wouldn't work with that.
No.
Well, you have you guys were saying that you have banged your mom, but not in the sexual sense.
Oh, yeah.
More of the wrestling suplex move.
Yeah, go ahead and tell that story, Derek.
Okay, so, all right. So, me and Blake are cousins, and his mom was talking to me, and, you know.
The L word.
The lawyer.
The lawyer. She's not a lawyer yet. She's in law school.
She's on her last year.
Yeah,
Year. So,
she's doing cases and stuff right now.
She's technically not a lawyer yet, though.
No. Here's the thing. Before the story starts.
But she will be.
I am very weak. I do not work out. I am... I'm just, you know, an average guy. So
hey, no, you work out now. Do you?
Let me just interject there for a moment. There, I've always felt weak, physically weak.
Yeah.
But certain incidents in my life have occurred where I surprised myself even on how strong I actually was. So it might just be your self-image that makes you think you're weak. It might not be reality.
Not to this point of the story.
Your mom
thinks
that you're strong. So, anyways, yeah, I'm explaining how I've been going to the gym, and I'm getting pretty strong. And she kind of gets in like, Blake can take you. I'm like, what? He is so strong, Derek. I'm like, what are you? Okay, like, okay, no, he picked me up and slammed me on the ground. I'm like, okay, I don't really see that happening. No, he picked me up and slammed me on the ground. So, like, here I'm thinking Blake's picking his mom up, lifting her over his head, and slamming her on the ground.
It's not even realistic.
Why did you do that?
Did it happen?
Okay, so you didn't do that.
No.
So, wait a second. Hold on. Your mom is making up stories about you beating her up?
No, my mother likes to create these stories just to have stories.
Yeah, here's a... Let me just... Right there.
She could try having a
life
instead.
Derek could be there, and I think he's pretty certain. I could never do that.
I do see... one thing I do see is his mom picking him up and...
That's exactly it.
Well,
my mom could beat the crap out of me.
Your mom's pretty big, and I don't mean overweight big.
No.
She's pretty tall.
Yeah.
Yep.
She's, five...
Well, she used to be a cop.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. Cool.
So she's got the muscle.
Yeah.
I could not pick her up.
How tall is she? About
5'9".
Yeah.
5'9". Okay. So that is above average height for a woman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, for a guy that would be average height, but for a woman that's above average height.
Yeah.
So she's pretty tall for a woman, and that makes her about the same height as the average man is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't really know what. Like, it's hard to defend because
So you categorically deny having performed the super suplex move.
His mom can kick his
on
ass.
Your mother.
Yeah, that's exactly. I think just about anybody could. That's why.
And you also categorically deny that your mother is a lesbian.
Yes, I'm gonna have to deny that one. Okay. No matter what Danny Minch says.
Well, she said no to him,
and
every woman has sex with him apparently.
I guess so.
So.
Well, he's the Mythbuster,
well,
man.
Well, he hit on me, too, so.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
He hits on everybody.
Yeah.
He grabbed my ass a couple of times. I asked him to, though, so that doesn't really count.
No, I guess
but, hey, we're going to take a break real quick. I'm JT Foreman. I am here with Blake Hayden and Derek Hayden. We are the Bitter Comics, and we will be right back. All right, this is JT Foreman. I'm here with Blake Hayden and Derek Hayden. We are the Bitter Comics, and we're back. All right, so... Let's start, Blake, with your tale of whoa.
Yeah, I started.
So you have a fan.
Yeah.
Who you made out with?
Yes.
Did you fuck her? No, I'm sorry. No. That's horrible.
Did you try? Oh, okay. I did try. I attempted, but.
How did that work? So you're at a show. Oh. And she was apparently at the show and enjoyed it, and she sent you a message later on Facebook or something?
Yeah, she sent me a message on Facebook, and it was kind of cool. I was like, man, I got my first fan. You know, I was like, this is awesome. I'm going to bang her now.
you just automatically assumed that one would follow the other?
I don't care if she's in a wheelchair. I'm going to bang her.
That's exactly it.
You know, she won't be able to get away.
So, well, you know, we're making out, and she pulls that I have to wake up early bit. So that was the one I had to work with.
Okay.
And so, I mean, how do you argue with that one? No, you don't. You know, like, what do you say to that?
If you really want, I have to wake early up early may very well be a true statement. However, if you want to do it, you'll stay in.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say is I don't care if a girl says she has to get up early. Like, they'll wake up, they'll go with, like, 3 hours of sleep, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that happens if they want to. If not, and that's what I was trying to tell him. Like, you know, I'm not trying to take props away from you. Like,
yeah, I get props.
You know, that's you more props. Props. Than I've gotten from anyone who said that they thought I was funny.
I get props.
Yeah.
But, I don't know how much we're going to bring this up, but the comic that you walked in on, do you remember?
The comic that I walked in on.
Getting the blowy?
The blowing in the bathroom. I remember you telling me that.
You
that was supposed to be kept secret.
Well, you know, here's the thing. I'm going to say his name because he was bragging about it. Ken Lewis.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
He was bragging about
it. Yeah, brag
like, I go into the bathroom and I see, Ken's in there getting a blowjob. From the girl he's with, I don't know her name, and I go outside and I sit down and I think I asked a question about what is the correct guy rule on what you do.
Well,
if
did
you
he
walk in on
did
someone?
He, did he notice that you like, so you walked in there?
Don't say anything, and then I go outside, I sit down, and then he walks out and says, "Hey, man, I just got a blowjob in the bathroom." You know,
so he didn't notice.
No, he saw me. Yeah, he knew. Okay. But I did not say anything to anyone.
Yeah,
you guys
about
just
it.
Caught eye contact for a little while.
Yeah, well, not a little while. For a moment, I was like, okay, and then I turned around and left. And you know, then he comes out and brags about how the fact that he'd just gotten a blowjob in the bathroom.
I don't blame
him.
That's
pretty cool. Yeah,
and
I don't blame him.
You know, I'm really disappointed. It's unprofessional. And I'm jealous that I didn't get a blowjob.
Right?
So, yeah, you know, but I did not say anything to anyone. He came out and bragged about it. I was like, well, I guess it's okay to talk about it.
Well, here's the thing. If you're getting blowies in the bathroom, I mean, and somebody walks in on you, I don't think it's their responsibility not to be like, well, I'm going to keep this a secret. I
don't know.
No guy, anyways, once if somebody walks in, they're not going to be like, please
don't
say anything. They're like, dude, tell everybody.
No. Actually, well, see, there's. I have it. Maybe because I'm older, I have a different view of it. Because to me, you don't say anything because she might get embarrassed and then not want to do it again.
Yeah, that's why you don't say anything. So you don't want to. But you want other people to say stuff. Subconsciously, you're
like...
Well,
no, no. Well, even other... You don't want other people to say anything either because we're get... It's like every time I see a guy puts pictures of his girlfriend naked on the internet, it pisses me off because it just makes it that much harder for the rest of us to talk our girlfriends into letting us take pictures of them.
Yeah.
You know, because if guys never posted pictures of their ex-girlfriend on the internet, I would probably have pictures of my girlfriend right now.
Yeah.
But I don't have any pictures of my girlfriend right now because she is, obviously, she's too afraid that they'll end up on the internet.
Well, I don't think you're ever going to hear this conversation on another podcast, I'll tell you that much.
I don't know. I think you might. No, actually, you know, my girlfriend is a more... proper than that. She would, even if she knew for a fact, which I'm sure she does, even knowing for a fact that I would never post the pictures anywhere, she is not the kind of person that would ever let you take pictures of her naked. She just isn't that kind of person. She's not quite that sexually adventurous, I guess is the best way to put it. She just wouldn't do something like that. She's a respectable lady.
I gotcha. Well, that's I mean, that's kind of cool.
Now your lesbian mom, lawyer, I'm joking. Your lawyer mom, on the other hand, I've met your mother briefly a number of times, but I don't really know anything about her at all. Yeah. And so this isn't a comment about her. This is a comment about Danny Minch. As soon as a woman shows up in the comedy scene, whether as a performer or as a common audience member, it's always assumed that Danny Minch is going to end up in bed with her.
Pretty much, yeah.
Because Danny Minch goes after it like that.
Even siblings of comics he'll go after.
Yeah, and Danny Minch will go after it like that.
He gets them too?
Yep.
I'm sure he doesn't get everyone.
Most of them, yeah.
But
he gets a lot.
He does get them. You know what? If you throw your shit against the wall enough times, eventually it's going to stick.
Yep.
Yeah.
So just ask everybody, I guess. And you know what? Someone said 9 times out of 10 you'll get slapped, and the 10th time you're going to slap her. Yeah.
Well,
from behind.
That's okay.
Technically, Danny Minch comes on to even the guy comics.
Yeah. He's a very flirtatious person.
Yeah.
Not just with women. And you know, it's not that I think he would... Well, other than for a practical joke, I don't think he would have sex with a guy. He is straight, but he's that kind of that towel snapping flirty.
Yeah,
I do that
in the locker room.
Well, I remember when I was first starting out, he would introduce me as the kid that looked like he would come out of Twilight, and then he'd talk about how good looking I was, and that's how he would introduce me.
Well, you're a sexy bitch. You are. You're, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I had my long hair. You know, I had my long, luscious, like, Twilight hair. And
you used the word luscious, okay?
Yeah, yep.
That was kind of gay.
I can admit when my hair is luscious.
being self-aware is important. You have to, you know, that you can identify these sort of things about yourself is good.
Yeah, well, that's how he would introduce me, and I just remember that was just, it was hilarious, don't get me wrong. But I think that's how you introduced me, huh?
Yeah, well, you know, people pick up on weird things about things that wouldn't occur to you. Someone else might pick up on. You know, it's like it would not have occurred to me to say that I look like a serial killer. But this guy, he hosted the open mics up in Seattle at Giggles a lot. Rick Kunkler. He would always He started introducing me as this guy looks like a serial killer, and it had never occurred to me that I look like a serial killer.
Like we were talking about earlier, but, dark eyes. So I don't really. You know, I didn't realize that I had dark eyes until somebody's like, "Are you wearing makeup?"
Yeah.
Go,
yeah.
Oh, well, I guess I have dark eyes. I never really noticed that.
You know, it's kind of cool.
Oh, it's actually very pronounced.
Yeah, I noticed it.
It looks like you've got dark eyeliner on. It does.
Yeah, like eyeshadow.
You say you don't, so I'll take your word for it. I'm not going to check.
Yeah.
But okay.
What's kind of cool about being a comic is that even though you know, some people would be really mad about how they were introducing you, they'd probably be mad about how they were introducing you, and you guys just turned it into material.
Yeah.
That's what's kind of cool is all these bad things happen to us, and then we just flip it to make it good.
You know? Well, you know, it's... About being a stand-up comedian, one thing that's great about it is that if you are ever going through some real trauma in your life, your support group are basically all of the funniest people in town.
Yeah, it makes
it a lot easier, you know. And actually, Tig Notaro was actually talking about that. She's a comedian in L.A. She did this bit about having her mother died and broke up with her girlfriend, and then she was diagnosed with cancer and all this other stuff happened at the same time.
Yeah.
And, you know, she talked about how her support group is Patton Oswalt and Louis C.K. and basically the funniest people in the world is her support group. And well, that kind of thing has really helped.
You start laughing, you know, you're all pissed off, or like, you know, you're going through stuff and you go start laughing. You're like, oh, I feel so much better.
And you are the type of person that can laugh at things.
Well, that's what I like about that movie you were talking about, Patch Adams, where he's, you know, he's going to med school and they're all saying, you know, he's going at a different angle saying, hey, let's make everyone laugh. And they're going, no, just try to save, you know, keep people from dying. He goes, no, like try to make them laugh. And it actually like helps out.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, attitude is a lot. It does make a big difference. And, you know, if you can give someone a good attitude by making them laugh.
Well,
and
I think a lot of the comics here, we kind of like, we just kind of formed a group. And if you're up there doing jokes, we will allow you in this group. You know what I mean? Like, we will just conversate constantly on that porch. Just right outside the stage.
Being new, I've only done it, you know, I mean, what, like 3 times in the last, you know, like not, I haven't been doing it for very long, and everyone, you know, kind of just like,
take you under the wing.
The comedy scene here in Fresno is large enough that there's a good number of people, but not so big that there's really enough for there to be a lot of different cliques in it.
Well, another thing too is,
And anyone with the balls to get up there on stage
and do it.
Yeah.
You automatically have the respect of pretty much every other comic in there.
Exactly.
You know, I have no respect for the heckler.
No.
I have none. You're going to hide down there and throw crap at the guy on stage while you're in the dark and no one can see you.
Well, here's the thing.
You're a coward.
Yeah.
You know what? You really think you're funnier than that guy on stage? You get off your ass and you go up on stage and then you do something.
Because even
if a person is not funny, I respect them for having the guts to get up there.
It's tough, man. I just started, and you know, my first, you know, couple times, I mean, I'm, you know, you're scared shitless. You know? Yeah. You're like, oh my
well,
God.
Well, because
once you get the first laughs, then you're good.
Here's the thing is that you put everything you have into a joke. Yeah. Right? Every time you write it, you're thinking, wow, I'm going to get huge laughs. You put your entire heart into this one joke.
Yeah.
And then, you know, when it doesn't get laughs, it's kind of like, crap.
It's not a rejection of the joke.
Well,
it's a rejection of you.
Yeah,
it's like
exactly.
You're putting yourself online. Yeah. That's the same thing with musicians, I think, though, too.
Yeah.
You know, people will say, like, you know, I don't like that song or something. To that people, they put, you know, everything into that. So it's how they express themselves.
You know, it's I think it's a lot more common that a musician will do it for themselves than it is in comedy. I don't think there's as many comedians who tell a joke for themselves.
Yeah.
They tell a joke because they want to make the audience laugh.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I know of a lot of musicians and songwriters, you know, here in Fresno, who say that, you know, if there was no open mics for me to go to, I'd be sitting at home and just playing on my own. But I don't know any comics who would sit at home and tell their jokes to themselves.
Yeah,
but what about friends or family? Yeah, I mean,
Friends and family get sick of it real quick.
It's kind
of
it's also different.
Oh, they do.
Yeah, I guess just doing stand up comedy. I was thinking like just trying to make.
Well, it's also different trying to do stand up in front of your friends and family.
Yeah.
Like just somebody today. I just started my new job, and this girl, she asked me to do some stand up for her one on one. It is so
it doesn't
awkward,
work.
Isn't it?
It doesn't work as well
to other comics because they can picture
all.
It. You know, other comics can picture it. They can picture the potential. Other people do not get that there's like a formula to it. You know, it's like it's an art.
Well, you know, what's even worse is when you're talking to someone online and they ask you to tell them some of your jokes.
They've done that?
I was talking on Facebook to a guy that I knew when I was in the Navy. And I had mentioned that I was doing stand-up comedy and he asked me to tell him some of my jokes.
Oh, God.
And so I told him the bit. I told him part of the bit about growing up in Clovis and how The bit is basically about how odd it seemed to me that this town with nothing but white people was so racist.
Clovis?
Yeah. I mean, who are you being racist against?
Yeah.
I never understood that. You know, if there's... I can understand being a racist person if there's blacks and there's whites and there's Hispanics and there's Asians, because there's some there. And if they do something, okay, now you can be upset about it. Well, but how do you become a racist in Idaho?
Well, yeah,
you
know,
there's nothing but white people.
And there's, yeah, no, there's not a lot of, there, I don't think there's very many racists at all over there. And that's, but and that's be, maybe that's why.
Well, I grew up here 20 years ago, though.
Yeah, that's so what I'm was, saying. I came back here, I'm going, man.
Yeah, I grew up in the 80s. Man, it was
there's,
different.
There's no white people here. What the
Yeah.
I'm a minority? What?
Yeah. Yeah, well, your eyes are minority.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
They're dark.
Those eye sockets.
So. My mom's black, so.
Oh, well, there it is.
Yeah.
Is
he?
No, it's a bit of a joke. Yeah. I mean, might as well do the bit.
It's basically just, my mom's black. I have her eyes.
So.
That is funny, actually. Yeah. That is funny. Well, hey, we're going to take a break again real quick. This is JT Foreman. I am here with Black Hayden.
D-Rock.
And Blake Hayden and Derek Hayden. We are the Bitter Comics, and we'll be right back. This is JT Foreman. I am here with Derek Hayden.
Yes.
And Blake Hayden.
Hey.
We're the Bitter Comics, and we're back. All right. So let's... this is a news story, thing I wanted to do several months ago. I was a huge fan of Siskel and Ebert at the movies when I was a kid. My dad was a divorced single parent with six kids. It's not like we had a lot of money to go out to the movies, but I did watch at the movies every week, so I knew what was out and I knew which ones would be good or bad because of the show.
Yeah.
But I never actually got to see most of these movies when I was growing up. But I really love that review show, and Gene Siskel died several years ago, and Roger Ebert passed away. About 4 or 5 months ago, something like that. And, when that happened, I'd found this list that someone put together. This is on MSNBC.com. I'll put a link to this in the show notes. 10 movies that Roger Ebert hated, and the quotes that he had attributed to him about the movies. Do you guys remember Roger Ebert at all?
No.
I don't know. That was before my time.
Yeah, you guys are 21 and 19, so he'd had, like throat cancer and couldn't really speak very well for the last few years.
Yeah,
he was gone from the TV by the time you guys were probably might have seen it, but
yeah,
that sucks.
But the movie North came out in 1994. I have no idea what this movie was about.
Yeah.
But there's a picture here with this looks like Nicolas Cage in a bunny suit.
In a Playboy bunny suit, looks like, kind of.
And Roger Ebert's quote, he said, "I hated this movie. Hated, 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 hated this movie."
5 times hated.
Yeah.
Yes. So, not really sure what he thought.
Mixed reviews.
Reviews.
Yeah, that
was exactly.
That was a good review. I just hated it.
Yeah.
What was wrong with it?
I hated it.
That's it.
The beginning, the middle, and the end. I just
enough
hated
said.
It.
I hated. Yeah. Hated. Hated. Hated.
What
hated,
was the
hated.
Plot? Well, who cares? I hated it.
Yeah.
Well, one thing that I liked about that show was that they would, in addition to reviewing the movie for what it was, they would also give you their opinion. Now, here's what I mean. If they liked or disliked the movie, they'll tell you that. But they would also say, look, I didn't like this, but your kids will like it.
Yeah, I like how blunt he was, too.
He was really blunt. And like, if there's some cartoon movie, you know what? I am not the audience that's intended for every film out there. Neither are you or you.
Yeah.
You know, there are movies out there that other people will love that you will just bore the shit out of you.
That's why I think, like, the Academy Awards, when they say, like, best movie of the year.
Yeah.
And, like, crappy.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Am I the only one?
Well,
it's all these drama, slow movies, and I'm not into it.
Well, I will start to respect the Academy Awards a little more.
Well, Argo is pretty good.
Well,
I like
it was
Argo.
All right. Yeah, it was okay. It was good. It wasn't great, but I will start to respect the Academy Awards a little bit more when a comedy gets nominated for Best Picture, because I'm a comedian. And it feels like they don't really have any respect for comedies.
Well, it's only drama.
Another thing, too, I mean, with comedy movies, too, I mean, they always have big names in those movies. I mean, there's so many comedians, you know. Think about all the money they're putting out just for the actors, you know. I mean, for those drama movies, I can see how maybe some of them might have better picture because they have more money to put in towards that.
Well, there's,
just because it's
there's never been a comedy nominated for Best Picture.
Yeah.
Not one. And you're telling me that every year there's never like a single one that just, comedy yeah, just, that is, yeah,
is even so. Nominated. Has there ever been a comedy that's been nominated for anything in the Academy Awards?
Well, you know, best animated feature,
funniest movie.
It's nothing really serious. Yeah,
there's never been a best act. The closest I think would be
best director.
Robin Williams was nominated for. Good Morning Vietnam. Wasn't he nominated for Best Actor?
I've never even heard that movie.
Not sure. I've heard of it. He's doing the radio Vietnam. But
That was a comedy.
What do you think of Robin Williams? Because I love Robin Williams. He's a great actor. You know, he's great in his drama scenes. And then he's hilarious right off the spot. They don't even script the guy.
I wish he would stop doing dramas because I think I have the opposite opinion of what you seem to... To talk about Derek.
Derek, I think we like have I love him.
I think we have more than enough good dramatic actors. Yeah. I don't think we have enough good comedic actors.
Yeah.
And you know, that's why you end up with so many of the dramatic actors ending up in a romantic comedy. Well,
have you ever seen
that's true.
Like Derek said, Patch Adams, have you ever seen that one? It's half drama, half comedy, or Jack. Half drama, half comedy.
I watched part of Patch Adams and got bored.
Really? Yeah, my thing with Robin Williams, I mean, I like him in his movies. You know, I like, you know, Miss Doubtfire. You know, he has movies where I like. But I think, and it might have been because he did improv, is he gets obnoxious sometimes. You're going, what the hell is going on, dude? Like, calm down. Well, he's good, but I think he's funny. But, I mean, there's, I don't know. He overdoes it sometimes.
All right, what's the next review?
Oh, number two on the list here, The Village, came out in 2004.
Okay, that's a good movie.
I didn't watch it.
To call it an anti-climax would be an insult not only to climaxes, but to prefixes.
What was that movie about?
The Village? That was where the whole village, they don't let them... It was leave.
In a little
there's
bit
monsters.
Of woods, like in the middle of a freeway or something.
Yeah, pretty much. And you can't leave the into the woods because the monsters will get you. And you can't cross this red line. And then, like spoiler alert, basically at the end... like you find out they end up at the freeway and they were just keeping them in so nobody could get hurt.
Realize that the future is happening.
Stay out of all the bad things in life, you know, keeping them away from all the.
I just remember a scary movie making fun of it. Like I never watched the movie.
It was a cool like the ending. You definitely you're like whoa that's cool, you know.
Well, you know, M. Night Shyamalan, he did that movie. He likes to have this weird twist at the end of his films.
Yeah.
But the problem with that is that. After the first night, that twist is gets out.
Yeah,
and now the twist is ruined for everybody else. Yeah. Like,
well, and that's the thing already, is you can't ever watch it again because you know exactly what's going to happen. Yeah. You're like,
I think some movies with great twists.
Seven's an awesome movie. Yeah.
Memento, when the movie goes backwards and he has memory issues. Have you seen that?
Yeah,
one?
Memento is a great movie.
The Departed.
Oh yeah, everyone died, which is cool. It's different from everything. Like,
well, when I took a screenwriting class when I was at Fresno City College, and one of the things the teacher said is to don't ever kill a character because it's lazy writing. And that was why I really enjoyed the movie Penn and Teller Get Killed, because at the end of that movie, everyone died.
That's how Departed was.
Every single character. There was no one left alive.
Oh, there was only one person.
Like,
Mark Wahlberg.
The mailman walks in, sees the carnage, and commits suicide.
He dies. Oh my God.
And then the landlord of the building walks in, sees the carnage. Oh, I can't take it, and commits suicide. And as the camera is like fading away, you know, all you hear is, bam.
I don't know. I wouldn't say that's lazy writing, though. I mean, no. I don't know.
At the very end, if you did it in the middle or something, like, I think end is fine.
Well, I think killing a person. In the middle or toward the beginning actually
runs the movie. There's nothing else. It's not a character.
It depends who you're killing. Because, like, you know what? In Star Trek, they kill the guy in the red shirt after 10 minutes. Well, you know what? You knew that was coming. That's lazy writing.
Yeah.
But if Picard dies halfway through an episode, how are you going to write yourself out of that one? Okay, that's not so much the lazy writing.
Yeah.
Well, some other ones that have some good twists. Deja Vu. You guys ever seen that one?
I saw it a long time ago.
Great twisted movie.
Denzel Washington's always good, though.
Oh, my God. The Sixth Sense.
Yeah.
That's a classic.
The Sixth Sense.
Yeah. Right? That's like the classic twisting.
Yeah. Well, you know, I had been told how that movie ended before I saw it.
50 First Dates ruined that movie for me.
Fight Club. was another one.
Fight Club, yes. Fight Club, yeah. Awesome movie. Yep. That's a classic.
Oh, he's multiple personality.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, yeah, that was awesome.
Spoiler alert.
What male doesn't like Fight Club, though? That's like the most badass movie.
Oh, yeah. My gosh. Well, Brad Pitt that's another one where...
Yeah, the ultimate alpha male.
Oh, well, Brad Pitt's in it. Might as well go watch it.
Well, you know, Jason Statham, I think, is more the alpha male than...
I can't stand Jason Statham, dude. It's his voice,
I think. The first time that I saw Jason Statham, I'm not... Okay, don't take the subtext of gay out of this.
Oh boy,
I don't mean it like that.
No homo. Okay.
The first no homo. Yeah. The first time I saw him, I thought to myself, "This is what a man is supposed to look like." You know,
really?
He doesn't have the perfect hair. You know, it's kind of balding a little bit.
Yeah.
But he's tall, broad shoulders, in really good shape. He's not shaven. You know, he's got a little bit of hair on him.
It's the British voice, man. I can't do it.
Yeah, the British. Okay, right, so a little homo. British voice, a little bit of homo.
Who's that? Right. Who's that guy from The Gray?
Oh, Liam Neeson.
Liam Neeson. That's a bad him and Gerard Butler. Those are
Gerard
my two
Butler.
Action.
That's how a romance.
Those are the action
guys.
No homo.
That's how a romance. Well, dude.
Yep. Gerard Butler, man. That guy.
Did you guys ever see the movie Cocoon? I know it's way before your time. But
no.
Have you ever seen it?
I think I've heard of it. I've never seen it.
Well, look up what Wilford Brimley looked like in the movie Cocoon, which came out in the 80s. Mm-hmm. And then look at what Brad Pitt looks like in the movie World War Z. And consider the fact that both of them at the filming of those two movies were 49. Wilford Brimley just looked old, and he was playing an old guy in that movie. And Brad Pitt does not look 49.
He's got millions and millions of dollars to get all the skin treatments.
Oh, yeah. Next one. Moving on. The Beverly Hillbillies, 1993.
Oh, I thought that was hilarious.
I didn't see it.
Here's a film with all of the wit of the roadkill that supplies not one but two of the lesser jokes.
I don't get it. I like
roadkill doesn't have a lot of wit.
I thought it was hilarious.
You don't have a lot of wit,
apparently.
Blake.
That was a movie that had a only barely coherent storyline, but a lot of good jokes in it.
Well, it was like Dumb and Dumber.
Yes, exactly. A barely coherent storyline, but a lot of funny jokes.
I was just thinking about that. Look at Dumb and Dumber, classic movie.
Oh my god!
You know, seriously, and I don't really like stupid humor.
Put another shrimp on the Bobby.
Yeah, that's a classic. That's a classic movie. But like, look at how many movies after that have come out that are just so stupid. Like, they're trying to do Dumb and Dumber did this, but it's like, this is stupid. Scary Movie.
I don't remember which Scary Movie it was, but there was one of them.
They're hard to watch. Man.
I don't remember
the first one. I thought was funny.
They're funny, but after a while, it's hard to watch.
There was only one scene in the movie that I thought was really funny.
Yeah.
It was when Leslie Nielsen. He's playing the President of the United States. And he walks into the basement where the stars are fighting the evil ghost. And he says, I just want to wish you good luck. We're all counting on you. And then he leaves.
I laughed my ass off at that line.
Yeah.
Because that was the line that he had like four times in the movie Airplane.
Yeah.
They were doing an airplane callback. It was hilarious.
Airplane's funny too.
The guy sitting in the taxi just looking at the fare, and it's just in the thousands.
Yeah.
Do you remember what I'm going to come right back, and then he gets on the plane, and the guy in the taxi is looking at fare.
If he doesn't come back in five more minutes, I'm leaving.
I got to watch that again.
Yeah. All right, next movie, Caligula from 1979. Caligula is sickening, utterly worthless, shameful trash.
Never even heard of that.
Sounds
like trash.
Okay. Yeah. Crocodile Dundee in Los Angeles.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's great.
Now the original Crocodile Dundee was an enjoyable.
That was a New York one, right?
Yeah. Crocodile Dundee in Los Angeles.
I like the one where he did the Baudet.
I've seen audits that were more thrilling.
That's pretty good.
Little Indian Big City in 1996. This had. Tool Time guy. What's Tim Allen? Tim Allen in it. Yeah, you know he played a guy. He had a son who was raised in the Amazon jungle.
Yes.
Jungle.
Little Indian Big City was the name of this movie. If you under any circumstances see Little Indian Big City, I will never let you read one of my reviews again.
I thought it was Jungle to Jungle. Am I wrong?
That's probably another one. Yeah, I remember that one too, where he does his
and he's like biting on the arrow with all the feathers.
Yeah,
in his hair.
He puts a stick in the water and all the piranhas are like grabbing it.
Yeah.
Armageddon, 1998.
Oh, great movie.
No matter what they're charging to get in, it's worth more to get out.
Are you kidding me? Every movie not that I like, I mean, yeah. Have you seen Armageddon?
I've been trying to tell you this, dude. What? You just don't have very good taste.
You didn't like Armageddon?
Music taste?
You didn't like Armageddon?
We've had this conversation. I didn't really like Armageddon.
Well, the music that I like, I mean, Mumford & Sons just got Best Album of the Year. I love Mumford & Sons.
Yeah. I don't even know what a Mumford is.
Nah. Well, it's the guy's last name. It's the singer's last name.
Oh, okay. Yeah. The Brown Bunny. Have you ever heard of this film?
No.
This doesn't sound
good. Here's a great quote. I had a colonoscopy once, and they let me watch it on TV. Oh, my God. It was more entertaining than The Brown Bunny.
Oh, my God.
Like, anything with Bunny makes me think of Reese Witherspoon in the, what is that, House Bunny or something?
That wasn't Reese Witherspoon. That was the other chick from
Oh, no, movie. Yeah. What was I thinking? I'm thinking of Pretty in Pink. Or, no, not Pretty in Pink. What's that movie I'm thinking of?
Legally Blonde.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Sad we know that. Yeah. You can tell we have single moms.
No, Legally Blonde 2 when she becomes a congresswoman.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Oh, I did. In my defense,
I have two sisters. And
it's a political drama.
Oh, yeah, God. It's bad.
It's right up there with JFK. And
JFK, good.
Masterminds in 1997. I stopped taking notes on my Palm Pilot and started playing the little chess game.
Oh, my God.
Number 10, finally, Mr. Magoo from 1997.
Oh my God, that looks so stupid. I didn't even watch it.
There is not a laugh in it. Not one. I counted. And those are 10.
Speaking of bad movies, like, have you ever seen Troll 2?
No.
That is voted the worst movie of all time. But
I think Plan 9 from Outer Space has got to be
You got to watch it. It's hilarious how bad it is. Like, literally, you watch that whole movie, and you're just laughing the whole time. Like, me and my friends, like, if we're, like, really bored, we're like, dude, let's just freaking watch Troll 2.
Is that one of those movies that people say, you know what, we should get high?
Yeah, that's – I was going to say that, but that's what we did.
Well, actually. We get
super high and then
Derek talked my mom into buying the, you know, like Walmart, how they do 10 movies for $5.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, she got it.
$5 for 12 movies.
The cheesiest movies of all time.
There you go.
There was one that said it was called Diner. D-I-E-N-E-R. So it was Diner.
Die was in parentheses.
And then, the rest of the title was Get It? Mark. So the whole title, it was Diner. Yeah. Get It?
Yeah. Those movies were freaking hilarious.
Awesome. Well, hey, we're going to take a break again real quick. This is JT Foreman. I'm here with Derek Hayden and Blake Hayden. Yes, there's a relation.
Yeah.
We're the Bitter Comics, and we'll be right back. This is JT Foreman. I'm here with Derek Hayden and Blake Hayden. We're the Bitter Comics, and we're talking about twins now. All right. Let's do a couple of news stories here real quick. I've got a story here from Huffington Post. Now, you know, in Amsterdam, prostitution is legal, right?
Yeah.
Everything
along
is legal
with other,
in
Amsterdam. Yeah.
Louise and Martin Falkens, twins, prostitutes in Amsterdam, are retiring after 50 years.
Jesus.
Not long.
Of prostituting. You know, they're 70 years old.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, the world's oldest prostitutes... are retiring. So, you know, for all of you out there who've been saving your money, your hard-earned money, to travel to Amsterdam because you wanted twins, you have one less option on the market.
Yeah. I wonder, like, with their client, when they got older, did their clientele get older too, or did they stay with the young base?
Are they still considered cougars?
No, that's
what would that be?
Well, you know, I know people who've said, yeah, I always wanted to be with twins. If this was the only one available,
I'm gonna pass.
Would you go for that, or would you pass on that one?
Well, like I was saying earlier, I'm wondering who their last customer was.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, like, how old,
they were 70 years old, yeah, finishing off their last customer.
There's some pictures here of these ladies dressed in red, of course.
Oh, let's see it.
Because that's the district, and they're in the red light district.
Yep, they're extremely attractive.
Yep. And their hot red outfits.
Man. With the, what is that, the statue guy?
Yeah.
Is it bad that I'm getting turned on with these pictures?
No, it's it's perfectly good that you're getting turned on. They've written a couple of books about their experience as prostitutes.
You know? Oh God, they didn't.
Yeah, who would want to hear that? Like,
you know, I would want to read it just out of curiosity. What does this 70-year-old prostitute Fawkins want to write about prostituting?
Mrs. Like, and Mrs. Fawkins,
Mother Fawkins.
They said they really enjoyed their time in the industry.
This is a real story. We're not fucking you. You see the pun there?
That was pretty good, dude. That was clever.
Given their experience, they do offer an interesting look at modern shifts in the world's oldest profession. They believe the golden years of prostitution in Amsterdam came long before its legalization in 2000.
Yeah, I just don't. I seriously want to know what their clientele looks like. Like, I mean, what do you think? What do you think? Old guys? Young guys? I mean.
There's a documentary about them that came out in 2012 called Meet the Fawkins.
Oh, God. Yeah, that's I wonder where they got that one from.
Yeah. Well, Derek, you kind of had a story to go ahead and share.
Well, yeah, I've actually. One of my ex girlfriends was actually. She had a twin, which was my best friend, which is a guy. So
okay, so she had a twin that was a guy.
Yeah, so my best friend.
So they weren't identical twins.
They were fraternal twins.
Well, they were identical twins, and then one of them had a sex change. No. We're not here to judge.
No, okay. No.
Or all my didn't get a sex change.
All my friends
change,
used to say too, like, you know, when you're in bed with her, do you ever think of him or see
really?
Him? Yeah.
Really? Yeah, it's an honest question. Like,
yeah. if you had an identical twin,
that'd be awesome.
Would you? Swap girlfriends?
Hell yeah. Yeah, I would. Hell yeah.
Just
that'd be awesome.
Like, well, would you?
Hey, yeah, would you know, you? I don't feel like taking her out tonight. Here, hey, do me a solid. You take her out tonight, and you know what? You can even sleep with her afterwards. Like,
sounds like a fair deal to me.
All right, cool. You guys are pretty much the same. Like, they think alike a lot of times, you know?
Well, you know, men are all alike anyways, right?
Yeah, pretty exactly. much. We're just wired
you
know, once.
What if what if a woman is dating a guy and broke up with him and then started dating his identical twin?
Okay, I actually, I saw this. Did you ever watch Nip Tuck?
No, but I have heard of it.
Yeah, so they're plastic surgeons, and they get this, it's pretty cool. They have this one episode where, These identical twins come in. They're conjoined twins, so they're connected to each other, and like their backs are kind of face away from each other.
Are there what organs are they sharing? It would be my question. I guess.
Think they both have penises.
No, that's not what I mean. What organs? Usually, what connects with conjoined twins, there's some organ in their body that they're sharing. Like sometimes it might be they only have one liver, and the two of them are both using or something like that.
They got three lungs.
Okay,
but yeah. Anyways, with the story, an episode which was really cool is like it's kind of funny. So they're trying to get split up, you know, and it's because one's got a girlfriend, and it's funny the whole time they're like, yeah, well, he always like tries to sneak a peek in there, like while they're having sex and stuff. I'm like, oh, that's funny. But yeah, once
it's like
they
the movie
get,
stuck on no, you.
Like once they got a. Once they got separated, the girlfriend ended up going with the other twin. I was like, whoa, dude, that would suck.
Yeah, it would.
At least she waited until they got separated before she hopped over to the other one. That would.
You get broken up, and not only like do you have to see her all the time, like your brother's banging
you have to be sitting
the
there while she's fucking her new boyfriend. It's like, really?
How would that
work? Hey, she doesn't like that.
Stop crying, dude.
I'm telling you, she doesn't.
About how he's bigger.
Wait a second. You would never let me do that.
You're so much bigger.
How come you let him do that? You wouldn't let me do it?
I think I'd be crying the whole time.
He didn't ask. Yeah. You didn't ask right.
Yeah, that's.
And now you're sitting there just looking at your twin like, you could have given me some tips, you know?
Yeah, come on, man.
Awesome. You know, what if a person got a sex change, went back in time, and became both of their own parents?
I think that would be awesome. I would love to be my mom and dad.
be both of your own parents.
Yeah. You know, you've been really bad today. You know what? You're going to have to go to bed early.
Well, I do want to wish Louise and Martine fucking the best in their retirement.
Happy
years.
Retirement.
Yes. Happy retirement, ladies. And So good for them. It says here, the 70-year-old twins are believed to be Amsterdam's oldest prostitutes. The Sun reports, after more than 50 years on the job and approximately 355,000 men between Jesus. Them.
Oh, my God.
How many of them men were actually between them, though?
Think about that. Yeah. Oh, my God. That's like, you know, they did one a day for 1,000 years almost. No, that'd be for 100 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
like
they were probably
more
taking
than two
on like
a day.
10 clients.
That's, yeah. that's like more than two a day.
Yeah.
They were probably taking on like five. Maybe.
Well,
maybe
that would
five.
Be one each then, I guess.
Well,
so they,
if,
they
if one person hires the twins, do they each get to count one?
I guess that's,
or does that like only
well,
get a half each?
That would be well, one. Why would they? Why would you just take one of the twins? If here's a couple
yeah,
of twins,
yeah,
I'll take
true.
One of them.
Yeah, you know what? I'm sorry. You don't
Nobody,
look as good as this one. No,
yeah.
I want
see,
both. I
well,
want
you know, what if they both want the job and so you get them into a bidding war? It's like, well, look, it doesn't really matter which one I go with because you're twins anyways. So who's going to give me the best deal?
Yeah, exactly. Unless one talks dirtier.
Is one of them undercutting the other one?
Yeah.
There we go. Okay, there was a video that I saw here. A woman is standing in the door of a subway, holding the door open. You know, I don't know if you guys have ever ridden a subway or not.
No.
But if you hold the door open and then the conductor can't move the train.
Okay.
The doors have to so all close locked. Before he's able to start it moving. So you can just hold the train up just by holding the doors open.
Yeah.
And so I assume this woman is waiting for someone to catch up to the train.
Yeah.
And after about 10 seconds, another woman who's on the train gets tired of waiting for her and just kicks her off.
Yeah.
And the door's shut and it takes off.
I don't blame
her.
Well,
I'm pretty sure the other chick is drunk. The chick holding up the thing, the door.
The one holding the door open?
Yeah.
Well, you know, something was wrong because she didn't get up real quick and run back to the subway.
Yeah.
No, she just kind of calmly, like, picked a thing she dropped off.
Well, you're not going to try to make a scene and you get kicked out of a subway, you know? You're not going to be like, oh, wait, train. You're going to be like, no, I meant to do that.
Well, could you imagine getting back on that train after somebody just kicked you?
Yeah, some
how awkward would that be?
I would only get back on the train if it was getting back on the train to beat the crap out of the person who just kicked me off of it. But I got kicked out of a subway once, but it was a subway restaurant, and they kicked me off because I wouldn't stop screaming at them about the fact that I found a Band-Aid in my sandwich.
Oh,
yeah.
Gross.
And I've talked about that on the show before, but you know, I take a bite and it was chewy. What? There's a
no
fucking
way. It was
Band-Aid
in
my sandwich.
It got in your mouth.
There's a fucking Band-Aid in my sandwich.
Did it get in your mouth?
There's a Band-Aid in my sandwich.
No,
and then
bad.
I see the guy who's making the sandwiches. He pulls his hand up to look at it and then puts it back behind himself real quick. You know?
Was the Band-Aid all bloody?
This was your Band-Aid, wasn't it? Yeah, it had the little spot of blood.
Well, I heard this. I heard this story.
He gave me my money back and I was like, you know, I knew I had to say hold the lettuce. I didn't know I had to say hold the Band-Aid. They give me my money. Yeah, hold the AIDS. They give me my money back, and I leave. And as I'm walking out, someone's walking in. I was like, "Yeah, hey, when you order your sandwich, make sure you tell them to hold the Band-Aids."
Man, that's
well.
Nasty.
I heard this story. You know, DeChico's, right? The Italian restaurant.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, this guy went to go, and I actually know this guy. It's my uncle, Kurt, and he takes a bite into this pizza, and he notices something underneath the cheese. It's a bug. There was a fly that got into the cheese and it was melted underneath. Didn't take a bite, thank God.
Oh, well, yeah, I saw
that's
this thing.
Pretty disgusting.
There's so many things about food that's disgusting. I saw this one thing. This guy, he finished his Monster Energy drink and cut open the can, and there was a dead mouse in it.
Oh.
Going,
well, you know what they
wow.
say? The only thing worse than finding a worm in your apple is finding
half
a worm.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah. Okay, so we never did get to talk about your mom, the L word.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
Lawyer. No, that's fine.
Lawyer. Well, she's a lawyer.
Yeah.
She's got 1 year left on her law school.
Yeah, she's been working all these years, and finally it's going to pay off.
Just out of curiosity, what kind of law does she want to go into?
She wants to be a prosecutor. She wants to be in the
criminal.
DA.
Yeah, she seems a type.
Yeah.
She wants to punish people.
Yeah.
She's definitely a lesbian.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly
so that's
it.
Well, hey, guys, thanks a lot for coming to do the podcast. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks for having us.
Yeah. Do either of you have any shows coming up you want to plug? Anything going on you want to talk about?
On the 23rd, I have a show at the Review. It's going to start...
The review that's in Tower District
on
Olive Avenue.
Yeah.
At the 23rd, what time?
9 o'clock.
And the stand-up comedy show, I assume?
It's going to be a stand-up comedy show. So far, I got Danny Minch and Kevin... I don't know how to say
Kevin Tinkin?
Yeah. And yeah, I got Kevin Tegan. So I'm still kind of just kind of forming my little group, but... yeah,
that's the 23rd. So next Wednesday.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Cool. Cool.
Yeah, we've just been hitting the open mics. I mean, Derek's only been up three times, but I think every single time he's been getting better.
We're going to San Francisco next week.
Oh yeah. What days?
Friday night. Gonna go Friday night. Saturday, Sunday.
Oh, cool.
Gonna go try to hit up some open mics and try again.
If you got room in the car, let me know. I might want to try to come
fun,
down,
yeah.
Definitely.
Come up there with you. I hear people many times. I've heard other comics talk about, oh yeah, I went to San Francisco last weekend, or I went to LA last weekend. I'm like, why didn't you tell me?
Yeah,
last week?
Well, that's what I was thinking. We should start doing.
Well,
every 2 weeks or something.
I thought we did tell you at Starving Artist Bistro. It was you and Kevin that we were talking to about it.
Yeah, yeah.
And Kevin was probably going to go with us.
Yeah,
so.
You know, anytime you guys are going out of town to do some,
well,
mics,
yeah, well, that's what I'm thinking. Go every, go. I mean, you know, maybe every 2 weeks or something. Hit up, yeah. You know, we have San Francisco and LA right here.
Yeah,
I mean, we can just go do that, and that's not, you know, too far. And that's where we're gonna get all our experiences from, doing places like different shows and doing different venues and stuff. So,
well, you just try to get it on stage as much as you can.
Exactly. Yeah.
The more you practice, better you get.
Exactly.
Well, hey, again, thanks a lot for coming to do the podcast. We really appreciate it.
Yeah.
I'm JT Foreman. I'm here with Blake Hayden. And Derek Hayden.
Yep.
We are the Bitter Comics, and I will talk to you next week. Peace.